You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in to Inside Carolina's First Game Podcast. North Carolina wins 72-64 at the Boston College in the Smith Center. I'm Tommy Ashley. That's Sherelle McMillan. Overall thoughts. For whatever reason, Carolina and Boston College play some ugly basketball in the Smith Center.
Yeah, defensively, I think, was the issue for UNC when you talk about ugly. There was a stretch there in the second half where they just could not get a stop. You know, they go to 9-0 at home in conference play. It was a win that they should have, that they had to have. So I think the top line is that they won. And just like we said last year after the Boston College game, it's one we'll never think about again. We'll have no memories of, and we move on to Saturday when they play NC State. I think that's kind of the top line for me, is that they won. It wasn't pretty, but they won.
Yeah, a win is a win is a win. That's all that matters. Armando Bacot, RJ Davis, and Caleb Love lead the way to get this win. Let's talk a little bit about overall. I felt like it was sort of a microcosm of the season. It seems like we're reliving these every time Carolina takes the court. They have success, they look really good, then they stop doing whatever they were doing to have success, and they look really bad. It filters down to the players. We can talk about the usual suspects, but they don't play well. I just think Carolina makes this game so difficult, the game of basketball, Sherelle, when they do not feed Bacot every single time. They did it, had success, they quit doing it, didn't have success, and then they go back to it. I mean, it's somebody's turning over in their grave, thinking about a big man like Bacot not touching it every single time. But what you think?
Yeah, it's frustrating with this team. I think the issue is you expect it to be better than it is because of how much experience they have, and you expect an experienced team to be able to, you know, close a team out. They know that if you let them hang around, then eventually, like it did, the lead will get down to one. And so I was just chatting with people, you know, during the game. It was like every time it got up to 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, they would kind of go into one of their little 3 minutes without a field goal funks where BC would, you know, hit 2 free throws, get a layup, and before you know it, it's back down to 5. And then Carolina is focused for 2 minutes and it gets back to 10 or 11, and then back down it goes to 7, you know. And you expect more from that from a team this experience. You expect them to be able to put a team away. You know, great teams, when you get to 10, you know, maybe it gets down to 8, but then you have a 10-0 run, you get it to 18, and the game's over. And it seems like that's what they're missing, just that ability, that last kind of finishing move, so to speak, to close out teams. And that's been a theme all year. That's why they lost to Iowa State. They had them beat. You know, you talk about Virginia, you know, they were up 7 in the second half. So it's just, I don't think we're quite able to reconcile exactly what the issue is. And maybe it is just that they go away from Bacot for too long. But yeah, that is concerning as you move forward. And maybe this is the kind of game Saturday against Louisville, where it started off slow and they eventually blew them out. Tonight, where they kind of let them hang around and then, you know, knocked them out. Maybe they can start to develop that as they continue through ACC play.
Yeah, the thing that's scary if you're a North Carolina fan watching that is if you do that in the tournament, the season ends. And that's what everybody's talking about this team's gearing towards. We saw that almost happen against a Baylor team. But alas, we're not there yet. Give some credit to Boston College, too. I mean, those dudes were scrappy, and I kind of liked – I'm an old-school basketball guy, so I kind of liked the Quentin Post-Armando Bacot battle going in there. Post wasn't trying to draw charges, wasn't flopping and all that. What'd you think of Bacot's ability? Post is not the most talented post player. But, I mean, he's pretty good, and he had 17 and 5. He probably could have some more rebounds being that big, and he only played 20 minutes. What did you think of Bacot's performance against the big?
I thought it was fine. I really think Bacot likes that because there are a lot of times where guys try to get under him. They put, you know, every high school team you've ever had has the football player who's just 6'8", and he's like 280 pounds, and he's all muscle. Bacot, I feel like, goes against a lot of those guys, and he doesn't have typically – people who are, you know, his size, you know, 6'10", 6'11", 7 foot. So I think for him, it's fun because he can actually play his game and then he can defend in ways that he doesn't like to be defended. You know, that, I think that's a good thing for him. I would have liked to seen him get more shots, to your point. I mean, he was 8 for 11, and I know some of those, you know, he got fouled on, you know, a few times, 6-7 free throws, but 11 shots when he's playing as well as he is just isn't enough. It reminds me of the 2005 championship game, not just this one game, but in general, you know, Sean May is destroying people. And I think he only had 10 shots officially in the championship game. It's like, just feed him the ball. There shouldn't be a game again this season unless the defense is doing something very odd schematically where Bacot gets less than 15 shots. It just shouldn't happen because he's that much of an advantage. I think he's the front runner for ACC Player of the Year now. He's got all these historical numbers that he's going to pass soon, and you just have to ride that until everyone else can kind of come along. RJ Davis has started to come along. You know, he's played really well since the beginning of the year, the beginning of the calendar year, and you hope that Caleb Love can come along too. And, you know, he showed some signs, but, you know, still a work in progress.
Yeah, Love 7 for 18, 2 for 10 on threes-ish, hit some big shots, made some nice plays. Really surprised he didn't get a technical on that dunk from Teddy Valentine there, but that was a little something different. So, you know, he's got to shoot it better from three, obviously, but you mentioned RJ Davis, and Hubert mentioned that on his weekly ACC Zoom that he's finally gotten healthy. He was banged up on that hand early in the year. RJ Davis is the key. We've talked about him. I mean, Bacot is the monster. Sean Crawley in the chat says a beast, and I agree with that, but RJ Davis, I think this team goes where he goes as long as Love doesn't shoot him out of it, which is certainly possible. But just sort of talk about RJ's evolution. His shooting percentage was terrible to start, and now it's sort of creeped back in line where he was last year.
Yeah, I think it's efficiency. His three-point shot, to your point, has come along. And he just looks, like, super confident. Like, right now – it's the opposite of what Caleb Love is. Like, if you look at Caleb, I'm not trying to be body language guy because that's not who I am, but you can see when someone is confident playing basketball. You see someone who hopes their shots go in versus someone who expects their shot to go in. And RJ is the former right now. I mean, that step back he hit, I think it was the second one from the right wing. There was no hesitation. There was no thought. It was like he was by himself in the gym. So I think just being able to do that has helped. And then, you know, I think he's learning that when you feed Armando Bacot the ball, good things happen because, you know, to someone's point, Bacot had 3 assists in the game. I don't know if any of them were particular to Davis, but over the stretch where really since Georgia Tech, where Bacot has become more of the focal point of the offense, he's been doing a pretty solid job of passing out of double teams. And if you're a shooter like RJ Davis, it's open for you. So I think it's more just confidence, his ability to really kind of run the team. And then his three-point shot has come around. Those three things have propelled him from, you know, the early season struggles.
Yeah, and somebody mentioned assist with a lack thereof. Carolina had 8 assists tonight on 26 made baskets. I mean, part of that is the inability to feed Bacot enough. And then when Bacot gets fouled, you know, Carolina counts that as an assist if he gets fouled on a shot. At least they used to under Dean Smith and Roy Williams. So my issue is not necessarily the assist numbers. It's the shot numbers for Bacot, and we've covered that one. Him with 11, Davis with 13, and then Love with 18. I'll tell you a shot I like to see, Sherelle, and it's something that I think we gave DeMarco Dunn not much credit or not much opportunity coming into the season. We didn't think he'd get it a lot of times, but he's come up and he's played well. And the one rebound he got was pretty impressive. But I think I like his game more and more. I think that step in three that he had, I think he could be a factor for this team going forward.
Yeah, for sure. I think Saturday it was defensively, you know, Heber Davis talked about how well he played defense on Ellis after Ellis had, I think, 11. Ellis at one point was outscoring Carolina by himself. And from there, when kind of Dunn got on him, he didn't do a ton after that. So defensively, he can help. And then, you know, we've talked all offseason and even during the season about North Carolina needing additional help on the perimeter to fill that void from Brady Manick last year. And P. Nance, when he played, has done an admirable job from three. Obviously, he's not Brady Manick, but I think he had a couple tonight. And he's kind of in that 1.5 to 2 per game when he plays. And now DeMarco Dunn, you know, usually when he gets an open shot here lately, he's been making it. I need to look at his three-point percentage, but in conference, I think it's pretty good. Same thing with Puff. He didn't hit one tonight, but when those guys get wide-open opportunities, that's what they have to do. And Dunn's definitely taking advantage of the opportunities. And you'll probably see him continue to stay in the rotation, especially if his defense is on point. His offensive rebounding continues to be. He's good for one of those a game. I think a nice offensive rebound and put back, just kind of knows where to be. And going back to Roy Williams, that's kind of what you want out of a Carolina wing. You want him to be low usage, high efficiency, you know, make an open three, crash the boards. And if he can do that, you know, he'll continue to get time.
One thing I see about Dunn and a couple other guys is when shots go up, they're not standing there looking at the shot go up. They're going to find where the ball might end up. And Dunn does that pretty well if you watch off the ball and see on the offensive rebound and end. You know, not a whole lot else to talk about in this. Somebody asked the question, and I'm going to give them props. I'm not going to call it up. But George Jenkins asked, and I'll ask you this, Sherelle. And of course, folks, this is Sherelle McMillan, who is subbing in tonight. Or actually is starring tonight after being just a rock star the last few weeks covering Carolina basketball recruiting. And if you're in this chat and you're not a premium member at Inside Carolina, you have missed out. And I might ask you a question about that in a minute, Sherelle. But George Jenkins asks, how does this team better utilize Pete Nance's strengths? I think Pete Nance, to me, just quite frankly, needs to be more aggressive, Sherelle. 2-for-7 tonight, 2-for-4, 6.5 rebounds, 3 turnovers as much. It's like him getting hurt has really set his evolution, his assimilation into this team back a little bit. How can that improve going forward?
Yeah, you got to remember, this is he missed, what, 3 games, so this is his 15th game with this group. It takes some time, man. Nobody wants to hear that because there's not a lot of time left. This is his one and only year at UNC, but it does take time. I think I'd like to see him more in the corner. That way we know he could, you know, he's pretty effective from shooting three. I think he might have the highest percentage on UNC's team. I'm pretty sure he does with, you know, that has over a certain amount of attempts. Like, I know Puff is in the 45s with a few attempts and Dunn's up there with a few attempts, but Nance has a good number of attempts and has a decent percentage, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, see him in the corner more to draw out defenders to give Armando Bacot more room to operate. And then to your point, just be more aggressive crashing the boards. You know, he is 6'10", 6'11". So, you know, he needs to utilize that and be more aggressive in trying to get rebounds and just clear out space for Bacot. I think that's a real good way to use him. And then, you know, when he's on that second unit, I think you can do the same thing. They've done a lot of stuff with pick and roll with him. From that left side, trying to, you know, get him isolated on guys and let him back him down. So that's good offensively. Defensively, you know, I think it's been a struggle for him at times. It's weird because the numbers say that North Carolina is much better with him defensively in the game. But then you look at the eye test and, you know, tonight there were about 3 straight possessions where they just went right into his chest and post and I can't remember the other fellow, but there was 2-3 guys who just went straight into his chest for layups. I think that's how you have to do it. You know, he is skilled. He can pass. He can shoot. So I think you have to let him do those things and just letting him get in the corner, hit a couple threes, give Armando Bacot space, cutting, passing. Those are the kind of ways that you know, utilize him. Maybe you put him in, you know, if they ever decide to do high-low again, you know, they play Syracuse soon. That's somewhere he can excel too, in the middle of a zone, or, you know, kind of being the big up top in a high-low set.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'll let you preview North Carolina State, North Carolina Saturday at 5 o'clock, another weird time, right in the middle of NFL playoff game. But Sherelle, how does this team match up against NC State? DJ Burns is a load for State, but I mean, it's got to be Baycott, and more Baycott, right?
Yeah, that's the answer. I mean, DJ Burns has had a very solid year. I don't think he's in the same, you know, stratosphere as Armando Baycott. And I think Baycott's conditioning, the fact that Baycott plays so much, I mean, that's actually going to be a positive for him in this game, because Burns is not going to be able to keep up if UNC can get out in transition. Now, the counter to that is, can UNC keep up with Joyner and with Terkavion Smith? Caleb Love and R.J. Davis and Leaky Black and DeMarco Dunn and Seth Trimble are going to have their best defensive game of the season to beat NC State, because those guys, yeah, they're going to take a lot of shots, but they're going to make a lot too. So if you can kind of choke them off, if you can get them shooting poor percentages, then I think you have a good chance to beat NC State. If not, and they start making tough shots, you know, it's going to be tough for UNC. The only thing I would mention is that for whatever reason, UNC, whether it's Roy Williams or Hubert Davis, since Keats has got there, they have great offensive games against NC State. I think it was like, I'll have to go back and look it up, but five or six times it scored 90 or more, and like four times it scored over 100. And this, you know, stretches over two coaching staffs. So I don't know if it's just seeing those NC State jerseys, if it's something schematically that Keats does that UNC exploits. But, I think they are going to have one of those offensive performances, because I don't see a ton of stops in this game. I think if you are inclined to do so, the over will be your friend.
Absolutely. You mentioned Terkavion Smith and Joyner. I mean, those dudes can play. And if State can get anything from their bigs, it could be an interesting ball game, but you're right. Defense will be an issue for North Carolina. We will see how much they buy in to that aspect of the floor. They've done it in spurts in the past. They'll need to do it a lot. And Puff Johnson had a great game in PNC last year, I believe it was. Let's see if he can step up. Folks asking about him and Styles and Seth Trimble and all in the chat. Hubert Davis plays who Hubert Davis plays. Jalen Washington hurt or not available this evening. And so he was out. Last question, Sherelle. What do you think about – I've never asked you this directly, I don't think. What do you think about Hubert Davis's rotations compared to what you grew up with watching Dean Smith, Roy Williams? Because it is clearly the NBA mindset of my rotations are based on the matchups, whereas Roy and Dean were we're doing what we do.
Yeah, it's different. And I think we as people who have covered UNC, who follow UNC, we have to allow ourselves a chance to learn Hubert's style before really maybe criticizing it or not understanding exactly what's going on, because it is different. With Roy Williams, you knew that at the 16:38 mark, you know, Tawny Bradley and Luke May were coming in for Kennedy Meeks and Isaiah Hicks. And then you knew at the 12:34 that Kennedy Meeks was coming back in at the 11-minute mark, you know, the starters were going to be back in. Like, you could kind of plan your day around it. And that's just not what Hubert Davis is doing right now. And that's the other thing. He's only been a head coach for a year and a half. So what he does now isn't necessarily what he's going to do in year four or five, or necessarily what, if things continue to be successful, he'll do in year 10 or 11. So he's growing as a head coach, and he's learning what he likes to do. I don't know that he maybe fully knows exactly how he wants to 100% use his bench or have substitution patterns. It could be a situation where right now this is how he has to do it until next year where he doesn't. So I think we just have to have a little patience. I know that's very difficult to do when it comes to these seasons, but I think what we can tell is, to your point, that thus far through 2 years with this core group, that he's going to use subs very conservatively, and that there's going to be a strategic point to it. We might not understand it until after the game. Like McCoy, for example, against Virginia, he said basically, everybody's like, well, why is McCoy playing? He was like, well, you know, they have big dudes, and McCoy was the biggest guy we had left. And it's like, okay, well, in that instance, it makes sense. Maybe his play didn't, you know, give the desired result, but at least the thought process made sense. So that's where I'm at with it. It's different. It's new. But you kind of got to allow him to grow as a coach, and we have to kind of follow and see where things go before we can start to make judgments, I think.
Absolutely. Seems like it takes forever, but they are only a season and a half into Hubert Davis's time. That's Sherelle McMillan, recruiting expert, been working hard. Get on Inside Carolina Premium boards and check out Sherelle's work with Ian Jackson's commitment. I wonder if Elliot Cadeau can feed the post consistently. I think he might be able to.
Oh, you know what? Since you said that, shout out to Puff. That there was a play in the second half from the left corner. He made a, I don't want to call it brilliant, because that's being dramatic, but really just good fundamental post-injury to Baycott. Baycott got fouled and made the basket. And just little stuff like that. That's why one of the reasons I really like Puff, just high basketball IQ type things. That was a really good play that isn't going to be in the box score, but was very important.
Yep, I agree 100%. I remember to play a nice little left-handed wraparound pass perfectly to Baycott. It is an art, and it is not as easy as we might think it is, and Puff made a good one there. Carolina beats Boston College 72-64, gets to 5-3 in the conference in a jumbled-up conference. I mean, Clemson, probably the best team in the league at the moment. Everybody else stacking up behind them. Sherelle McMillan, I'm Tommy Ashley. Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Appreciate the 200 folks that have been in here live. Check us out. Comment on the YouTube chat. Comment on the message boards. Thanks, Sherelle.
Yep, have a good one.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.